as he knows about us. Amen. I want you to go to the Old Testament. Some of the small books as you get near the end of the Old Testament, I want you to go to the little book of Micah. And if you get over to Jonah, you want to go to your right. I think if you get over to maybe Habakkuk and Nahum, you want to go to your left. So find it, if you would, chapter 7 of the little book of Micah. Give you just a moment. I want to just read about three or four verses as our text this morning. As we do think about Father's Day a little bit, we want to give it a little statement from these verses. You'll see the words perhaps in there. I guess I could call the message Missing the Good Man. Missing the Good Man. And it's in the text. I think about the ladies was talking, and one of them said to the other one, said, you know, she just had her third husband cremated. And the other lady said, yeah, she's got husbands to burn, and I can't find the one to keep. Sometimes it's hard to find a good man. Amen. Look at it. We've been in chapter 7, verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Verse 1, you say, what's the fruit basket, so to speak, got to do with the rest of it? He's saying, like a fellow that would love to have some fruit. He'd love to find the cluster of the grape. His soul desires it. He's got an appetite for it. He says, that's the way I desire to find a good man, and you can't find one. He said, I've got an interest here. Now, Micah's just one of the shorter prophets, prophesied during the time of Isaiah, perhaps, the longer book that we have in the Bible of Isaiah the prophet, probably 700 years before Christ was born. And here's an interesting thing. Doctrinally, this fits in the future from us. Doctrinally, this is skipping over the church age. This is skipping over right now and going to the tribulation period, and this is what it's going to be like in Israel. They can't find a good man. Everything is going to be crooked. The judge is going to ask to get paid off. That's what the verse says. Did you notice that? Yeah. The judge is going to ask for a reward. They all lie in wait for blood. They set a net or a trap for each other. They go at this thing of evil with both hands. And the mischievous man, it's called the great man here, he uttereth his mischievous desire. And this sounds like Walmart. Wrap it up. Just put it in wrapping paper. We see that happening now, don't we? And we're still in the church age. The rapture hadn't yet taken place. But this is what it's going to get at its peak in the tribulation period. Now, the Bible is so written that when folks in Micah's day and Isaiah's day heard what he was saying, they could apply it to their day. They could see their sin. They could see their evil. They could see their corruption. You and I can read it and spiritually apply it to certainly what we see today. I mean, they can't find another. I think they've got about 50 czars, and they can't find any that can get vetted and pass the test in Washington. And every time you turn around, another fellow's been caught in graft. He's been caught with a payoff. He's been caught cheating somewhere. And I don't know where it's finally going to wind up. It's a mess right now, that's for sure. But that verse reads like today's newspaper. Where's the good man? He's missing. He's missing. And what Micah gives here, he gives a message of judgment, repentance, and then blessing. And you understand that's what's going to happen in the tribulation period with the Jews. The judgment's coming. They're going to repent over what they've done and missing the Messiah. And finally, the blessing is going to come. And while that is a formula that works then, it still will work today, and it's what we need in our country today, and yes, in our home, in our church, in our city, in our county, that same formula would still work to bring the blessings of God. Now the text complains here about men. It says in verse 2, they're missing. In verse 3, it says they're evil. But in verse 4 here, it says their day is coming. Their day of judgment is coming. And so Micah's right up to date. Little short prophetical book. I don't like to call them minor prophets. Everything in the Bible is major. It's just a shorter message than, say, Isaiah or Jeremiah or somebody like that. But noticing here and applying it today, there's so much similarity. We look today and see the corruption, see the payoff, see the cheating, see all of this. And today we reap the results of broken homes, of dishonesty, of immorality, just like Micah was complained about it in his day, and just like it'll reach its peak in the tribulation. And for you folks that don't understand it, the tribulation period is coming after the Christians are called out. The saved are called out. It's not a time you want to be here, though it is specifically called the day of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be trouble for anybody that's left here on the old planet Earth when judgment begins to fall. But we watch the similarities, and to make an application for us today, we can look here and see how God charges men, and God does expect more of us men than he does the ladies. I didn't get any amens, but that's the truth of the Bible. Hey, fathers, you are to be the head. And because of being the head, you have the greater responsibility. And you will have the greater requirements put on you. And one day, the greater judgment for whether we meet them or not. Amen? Yeah, the Bible tells of the man, he's supposed to be the head of the house. Now, there's a little bit more to being the head of the house than just sticking your chest out and sounding bad. Amen? Or even smelling bad. There's a little more to it than that. I turn over the book of Ephesians, and you've had it on every Father's Day and Mother's Day. We read these verses probably. But over in Ephesians chapter 5, it says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then he goes down, he itemizes the list here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. By the way, it says own husbands, as unto the Lord. In other words, if he's leading you the Lord's direction, then you're supposed to submit, ladies, to that. By the way, don't ever have a better idea than God. This is the way God lines it up. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about the saved in the church, but also there's a little secondary application. Husband, do you know you're supposed to look after the bodily needs, food, taking care of things, protection, all of that, that's our job. That's our job. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and he's making the analogy here, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, if we loved our wives like Christ loved the church, then there'd be no price too great to pay. And I don't read all the scripture, but the Bible talks about loving our wife. She's our own flesh, and no man ever hated his own flesh. Makes a real analogy, comparison there. And it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, down in verse 28. And no man ever hated his own flesh. Wonderful, wonderful picture here. And then wives, here's one for you, last verse of the chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. Say, boy, I like that, preacher. How about this? And the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's part of it. One fellow said he knew his wife reverenced him, knew his wife thought he was a god because she offered him 3 burnt sacrifices every day. Now, we're joking around about it a little bit, but here's some order that God's given. And by the way, things go better in God's order always. And when you get them out of order, that's where the trouble comes from. The order of the wife, the man's the head, the wife is in subjection to that. And then you get over to Ephesians chapter 6, right across the page. The first three verses tells the children to honor the parents. And that's God's order. It works that way. Some of you young people listening here, you ought to be real careful. It's Father's Day, and we're talking about fathers today. But watch out for calling you dad the old man. Watch out for showing lack of respect. Watch out for thinking, well, he just too old to know about it. No, he's probably forgot more than you know, in all reality. And be careful in that area. Hey, God is watching. God wants his order followed. God blesses the order that he has given. And it's still right today in this so-called modern age as it was when it was written in the Word of God. It's still God's Word. Still God's plan. And the thing of raising the family right, dads, we're going to reap for it down the road. Not just at the judgment seat, not just before God, but right here on earth, we have a lot of blessings, and sometimes we miss a lot of blessings. I want to challenge you dads, raise your family right. It'll pay off in the long run. And I'll tell you what else will happen. If you don't, it'll pay off in shame in the long run. It'll pay off in pain and broken heart and all of that. And somebody said the good thing about grandparents is we get a second chance to do it again. Well, there's some little bit of truth in that. And as we deal with our grandkids, my mind goes back every now and then. And once in a while, I think I see a little opportunity where I can improve just a little bit. And I try to. I was waking Case up this week in the morning, and he was staying with us. And I joked with him about, you know, getting up and going to work or something like that. And he said, Grandpa, you'd be a lot healthier if you slept more. Now, they figured out quick. I said, just how much sleep do you think you ought to get? He said, about 12 hours. Now, they're going to find a way, but listen, there is an opportunity to raise them where there'll be a blessing to you. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you see kids turn out right and honor the father, honor the mother, honor the way they were raised, and it pays off, and it brings a lot of hurt and shame when it goes the other way. I read the story, this really happened. A young man, fairly young, got in trouble with the law. He was in pretty bad trouble, and I forget how bad, but the sentence was being announced by the judge, and the young man stood there with his head bowed in shame, and the judge was fixing to announce the penalty, how many years he got or whatever. And an old man in the audience out there stood with his head bowed. The judge asked the young man, come stand here before the bench. And he came, and he stood, and he with his head down, and the old gray-headed man in the audience stood and had his head bowed. And the judge thought he misunderstood. And he said, no, I wasn't speaking to you, sir. The old man looked up and said, yes, you were. He's my son. And I'm hanging my head in shame also. Hey, that's pretty sad. But I want to say to you, there's a real truth there. We do have an obligation to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Daddy, you need to have their respect as you lead them in the way of the Lord. The old Jewish tradition said this, said a man that raises a son without teaching him a trade raises a thief. A lot of truth to that. You see, what's happened in America big time is we've quit passing on what was passed on to us. And we're missing that. We're missing it big. But the father is to be the head. And I tell the wives, yes, you're to obey your husband. And immediately the question comes up, what about my husband being lost? I want to say there's a verse in the Bible for that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at it in verse 1. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 1. Listen to it. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if they, let me get it right, that if any obey not the word, that'd be the Bible, that'd be the truth of God, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word, talking about the gospel, talking about the Bible, talking about God's word, they also may without the word, they're not getting it, they're not listening to it, they're not going to church, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now I understand the word conversation can be a little bit bigger than words. It may even include some lifestyle. But at the same time, here's a truth. Ladies, the way you conduct yourselves has a lot to do with the respect even a lost husband has for what you stand for. I've known some fellas didn't get saved because their wives never could shut up. Now excuse me, I'm going to tell you the truth. You come to a place, you get the truth around here. Some men are going to be in hell because wives couldn't control their tongues. I've seen a time, more than one time, that I've had to ask a wife to please go somewhere else where I could talk to their husband. That's a sad case. We have some jokes about that sometime, ladies. We call them ratchet mouth and, what is it, ratchet jaw. Now, ladies, you shouldn't be that way. Because the truth is your words and the way you live and the way you talk, if you go home from church and you criticize what happened at church, you're just burying him in hell is what you're doing. You better understand how to control your tongue to lift up the truth and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ instead of, well, I got cross with sister so-and-so, she said this, and you go home and vent all that business on your husband. That's not going to work. I mean, the conversation has something to do with it. And yes, many times trying to win a lost husband, you may have to walk the second and third mile, and you may have to turn the other cheek and all that. But I've got news for you. You do it right, and it'll pay off right in the long run. And I say to you, that's very important, very important. What we got going on today is we've got people following the TV soap operas in the chat rooms instead of the Bible. And that's what's destroying homes. I remember visiting, a young couple had come and joined my church some number of years ago. And nice looking young couple. They both had jobs. They were getting along. I thought good. I think they were paying down and was buying their first little house. I believe I could go almost to the house right now. And they started missing a little bit, and the husband came to me and he said, something's wrong with my wife, I don't know. So I went over to call on them on a night right by myself, caught them both, and I was trying to help them out. And when I come in and talk to him, he said, she tells me that we've got to get a divorce. I said, why? You've been unfaithful. No, preacher, nothing like that. And he said, she is watching the soap operas and she thinks it's her turn to have the excitement of having a divorce. I said, truly, that couldn't be it. We talked a little bit, and I was convinced he was right. One particular time in the conversation, she made a couple of statements. He said, did you recognize those statements? They came right off as the stomach turns or whatever one of them soap operas is. Amen. She thought it was the end thing to do. Like some of these kids think they got to have designer jeans or shoes. Got to get a divorce. That's the way you do it in the modern trend today. And some of you, and we got conversation in this thing. We got words again. And men, the Bible tells us that you win your wife by your words. Ladies, you win your husband by lack of words many times. That's getting quiet. I'm sorry. You just walked into something you don't like this morning. Can't help you right now. But the sad truth is these chat rooms, women get on it, and men, and you start talking to somebody you've never seen. And the next thing you know, they're relating to me. They understand me. They know what I lack. And a bunch of baloney. If you could see that jerk on the other end of the line and what he looked like, my, he's leftover garbage is what he is. And yet you're falling for that junk. Crazy age that we live in today. But so much of our homes are being destroyed by that junk. But the Father is to be the head, and God's going to hold us responsible. He's, Father, you're the spiritual guide. You're the example. And it's more than talk. fellow said to his son, said, fussing at his son about being lazy or whatever, and he said, boy, do you realize when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he was out splitting rails? And the boy looked at his dad and said, yeah, when he was your age, he was president too. The example's going to carry a lot of weight. A lot of weight. You know, what we need is a man in command. Did you get that? And that's not just being a drill sergeant. There's something about, if you got to holler at your wife and say, I'm the head of this house, you probably aren't. But the command is just something that comes with a position. And you don't have to tell folks, and you don't have to tell your wife. She'll follow you, and the scripture I read over here in Ephesians was as unto the Lord. In the Lord is the key right there. And what we got today in so many homes is the roles are mixed up. Mama is the staff sergeant. She's the one in command. That's backwards. No wonder our kids grow up with they're not sure what the role model is to follow. Homosexuality is gained in our homes, not only foolishness of being taught in our schoolrooms, but many times the kid is going to follow the authoritative figure in the home, which ought to be the dad, and line up that way. But you got a lot of little girls and boys also seeing that it's the mother that's commander in chief, and the roles are getting mixed up. It's a crazy, crazy age that we've moved in. It's all because of forsaking God's order, God's plan, God's word. Kids will follow the example. Dad, I'll get real close home with you. What kind of example do you give them concerning church? See, you can create something with a kid. You'd say, well, and I've had men say this to me. I don't know how that kid turned out that way. I always made them go to church. Oh, you did. You didn't take them, you made them go. Big difference. Big difference. Mother was saying to her husband, he's sitting there reading the newspaper Sunday morning, she's getting ready for church, getting the kids ready for church, and Johnny was fussing, I don't want to go, Mama. Daddy's sitting there reading the paper, and finally he says to Johnny, you go with your mother, like she said. Johnny said, Daddy, when you was little, did you go to church? He said, all the time. The little boy walked off, and his dad heard him say under his breath, I don't guess it'll do me no good either. Get the point? Yeah. What do they think about church? Now listen to me. If you make the kids come, there's a good chance you're going to make them hate coming. Do you get me? Now, you say, don't you believe in making kids come to church? I sure do. And sat inside of you. Make them come because you bring them. And you come with enthusiasm. To the degree you've got it, they'll have it. To the degree you hate it, they'll hate it. And yes, any kid, I mean any boy, you know, with a BB gun or a slingshot or a basketball, he'd rather be out there doing that. And he'll hate the fact the church robbed him of that time. And he'll get to where he dreads going. Unless he sees you doing it with enthusiasm and you love it. Hey, I always loved what my dad loved. It was just natural. Let him know what you love. Let him see you care for the things of God. You are to be the spiritual guide. There's no doubt about it. Keep the role what God intended for it to be. Somebody in the old days used to say, and you've heard this. You've heard it many times. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Ever heard that one? Well, what kind of tree are you? Oh, don't wait, you know, suddenly all you got left is a bunch of dry hide and a hunk of hair, and you ain't got much energy left, and your kid's living like the devil, and then you come to the preacher and say, oh, fix it for me. No, can't fix it. You've already fixed it. You fixed it the wrong way. Show them what you love, and you'll find out they'll love it also. It'll work that way. Fathers, this verse 4 here talks about an accounting day. Do you notice that? It says, the day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Oh yeah, it all finally faces judgment. Much of it is faced here. But oh, it's going to be faced before God. We were singing in the choir there a while ago, and I think I got pressured there a little bit. But we were singing in the choir over there a while ago about Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Remember what Joshua said? He called those elders together. It's getting down near the end of Joshua's life. He calls them together. And he said, you're going to serve the gods you served on the other side, the flood. That's one set. Or in Egypt. That's another set. But he said, are you going to serve the gods in the land of the Amorites? Where are you going? But he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He said, you're making a choice. You're making a choice. And that's a great verse, Joshua 24, 15. Great verse, and great for us dads. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Watch how that is in its order. As for who? Me. Then my house. See the order? All right, if I'll do it, I'll guarantee you, and I've witnessed this as a preacher through the years, when the man leads the way the right way, it's very few times that a woman will be bad enough. Our kids will be bad enough not to follow dad if he's going the right way. It does happen, but it's the exception to the rule. And we will face an accounting day. And that's what Joshua said, you make a choice. Now he said, the gods on the other side of the flood. Do you ever think about who the gods on the other side of the flood might have been? Remember the fallen angel showed up in Genesis chapter 6? Some strange things happened. They produced giants. I personally think what is a lot of alien stuff talked today, and a lot of the pyramids and a lot of other junk back there that they can't explain. I believe the gods on the other side of the flood had something to do with that. My own opinion, I think the fallen angels were involved there. But anyway, Joshua said, make a choice. Hey, we're coming down to where the gods on the other side of the flood are showing up again. And the strong delusion that's going to face America and other nations very soon is, what are you going to do with ET? What are you going to do with extraterrestrials? I want to tell you what your kids are going to do with them. They're going to be deceived by them unless you teach them right before they get here. You say, you think that's going to happen? I really do. I think tribulation period is going to have a bunch of that stuff, and I think we already see in the preview of it now, and your kids have already been raised on the TV box to accept all the spacemen. And they are going to pretend to be from space anyway, whether they are or not. I'm just saying to you, better wake up. Better wake up. Fathers, we are facing an accounting day. I'd rather face it in pride, hadn't you? Proud of, bless God, God honored my living for Him and allowed my kids to be raised right and do right. Once in a while in the news, just once in a while, you see where somebody really takes a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Tim Tebow, that was the quarterback for the Florida here. You know what I'm talking about. And he got chosen by a pro team and so on. But do you understand, when Tim Tebow came out on the Super Bowl commercial, on the pro-life commercial? Anybody remember that? You remember all the liberals jumping and screaming and hollering? Well, I just saw this week where somebody was asking him about it, and he said, because of that pro-life commercial against killing the babies that he and his mother made, because she didn't abort him, even though doctors recommended it because of her illness, she didn't. And so they made a commercial about it, and it was really kind of a light commercial, but it was on the right side. And Tim Tebow said, I've lost all kind of sponsorships. He said, I've had Nike, help yourself, and a bunch of the rest of them tell me we couldn't use you now because you made that pro-life commercial. Isn't that something? That's really something. But his dad and mom can be proud of that. And I think his Savior's proud of that. Take a stand, yeah, it may cost you something down here. But brother, at the judgment, brother, in that day, brother, when others are perplexed, you're going to be proud if you stuck by the Word of God. I'll say to you, it's a precious task, Father, you've got to lead a family. Raise up a son to follow your steps. If your steps are straight, you got a lot of responsibility, and it's a precious task. I don't necessarily believe this. I really kind of think some of the extraterrestrials, or as they call them, or somebody else, maybe built the pyramids. But they say in the old days, when a king would build the pyramid, and he'd have a man in charge. We'd call him a general contractor. That when it come to putting on the capstone, that was the hardest and most important, that he'd have that contractor take that contractor's own son and bind him, tie him to the stone, making sure that the general contractor would be ever so careful to not have an accident happen when that stone was lifted, because his own son was tied to it. Now, I don't know so much about that, but I want to say we've got a more important job than building some king a monument. We got an important job to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as to how we raise those children that he gave us. We've got a serious task there, because that child is bound to my life and he's bound to your life in a special way. You know, I say to you this morning, you want to be the right kind of father. You want to be the good man that Micah was looking for here, the good man that was missing. You'll never be the right one until you honor the Lord Jesus Christ by receiving his son that he gave for you on Calvary. When he gave for you to die for your sins and take your place and shed his blood to pay a price you couldn't pay. There's no daddy going to raise a son right who the daddy himself rejects Christ, because unless the son receives Christ, it's very unlikely that he's going to turn out very well, even in this world. And he's surely not going to turn out bad in the other. I say to you, the first step, I don't care what age you are, if you're a new husband, or you're an old one, if you've never received Christ, that's the first step to getting your family on the pathway and being the spiritual guide to lead them in the Lord. One day it'll pay off. Your influence. Say, preacher, I don't have education or this, that, or the other. I'll never be much of a churchman. I can't sing. Well, I'm proof you can get by with that. But I can't preach. I can't do that. Oh, a lot of things you can't do, but there's a lot of things you can do. You can come and say, I want my kids to know where I'm at. I'm in the house of God. I want them to know I'm in agreement with the word and the gospel and the clean Christian life. There's a lot of things you can do to indicate where you stand. And that's so important. So important. Your influence is going to live on. Brother Lacey's over here. He told me how to get on the computer and see Dr. Roy Thompson's funeral this week. And Stephen came, set it up for me. I sat there and watched it, Brother Lacey. And to realize the influence of a man's life as the family paid tribute to him at the funeral. It was a good thing to see. Dr. Thompson preached for us here many times. Great man of God, used of God. Died with leukemia, 77 years old. But at his funeral, several things impressed me. Dr. Roy Thompson, at 7 years old, was a street kid going to a mission to get something to eat. He and his mother both on the street for a period of time, and I don't know all the details. But his son, talking at the funeral, produced a Gospel of John, you know, the little booklets, the Gospel of John, that was given to Brother Thompson when he was 7 years old at a mission. Mission like you hear on our radio, specific garden mission, that sort of thing. And when he was being shipped over to war, he still had that Gospel of John and memorized every word of it before the ship crossed the ocean. Every word of it, 21 chapters of John. And they still found that same little Gospel of John with a mission name on it in his desk drawer. But the other thing was, big church, bigger than this one, raised up, started by, and God used a man to do that. Out of high school diploma, that sort of thing. Street kid at 7 years old. Influence all around the world, that church and people. And then to hear his grandkids get up and pay tribute to him. His wife, his daughters, his church members. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, I don't care how low down you started, where off you were, God can take and use you when you surrender to him. And your influence, you think about just that man and how God used him and brought him from that beginning honestly tell you, God can do it if you'll follow His order, if you'll follow His path. The good man is missing today in so many places. It'll be missing in the future, but it don't have to be you and I that are missing. We can show up and do it God's way and let Him use us to influence others for the right way, for His cause. And I say to you, it starts with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Him as Savior today, don't let another invitation go by without you receiving Christ as your Savior. Then I say to you, fathers, thank God our church is filled with so many good fathers. When it comes a time to pick the father of the year, it's a hard thing to do. We just got so many. Thank God for that. But if you don't fit into that category, you can. And it starts with receiving Christ as your Savior. And I challenge you this morning, don't leave this building lost. And then I challenge you as a father. You say, well, preacher, I kind of messed up here. All right, what do? You get back and start over again. You get back on the straight and narrow. You do it right, because some kids one day are going to be saying something about you in their heart, if not out loud, when God calls you home. That day is coming for all of us. How are we going to answer? I hope we can answer the right way and say, God, the best I could, I did it your way. I hope you can say that in all honesty before Him.